You are listening to Radiant Creators, a collaborative project composed of people whose passion, purpose, and dedication requires forging their own unique path of empowerment and livelihood. A Radiant Creator isn't making a living, they are living.
I am ready over here at the ACR studio. You're good to go. You're ready to roll. It's hot, hot on the stream. Hello, everybody at the chat. If you're listening live on Spreaker, come on down to alternatecurrentradio.com. Hang out with Craig and Daniel and myself for some Radiant Creator Boiler Room crossover radio. And over to you, Craig.
We are interviewing Daniel Lewis Crumpton. He is an author, a philosopher, and a cannabis activist. And he's a very multifaceted character. And definitely a, you know, I almost would describe him, and I hope that Daniel's okay with this description, but he's kind of like the Ted Nugent of cannabis.
No, so, take it back right now, dude. No, Ted Nugent, man. No, okay. You're not doing that. Let's reset this. You got to start that over, bro.
Okay, he's not the Ted Nugent of cannabis, but he's definitely a liberty-loving cannabis activist. So,
Ron Patton calls me the emissary of cannabis. I like the ring of that because it's like a Star Trek reference.
So. The emissary of cannabis. I like that. Well, Daniel, so let's get into who you are and what you're doing, Mr. Author, Philosopher, Cannabis, and not Ted Nugent.
Not Ted Nugent, no. Not enough hair by a long shot. Oh, yeah, man, you were like, what do I do? Man, I often ask myself that. I mean, yeah, I'm an author, philosopher, I'm a spiritualist. There's a lot of titles that we all pick up and carry with us from time to time. But what I was invited on the show to promote, right, because we're in a commercial world, right? What I'm here to promote tonight is, or to talk about really, not really promote because it promotes itself, is I am a huge believer in the healing power of cannabis. I don't like the word marijuana. You know, I'll quickly correct somebody who does call the plant marijuana. But I'm a huge cannabis activist. And the reason that is because I personally have experienced its healing power in my life and in the lives of hundreds of and thousands of others. And by fate and circumstance, through my activism over the years and through my wanderings, I came across a California-based medical cannabis collective called Canisense Total Wellness. And anybody who's ever heard of me before, you know, Googled me or YouTubed me, if they Googled me and I didn't put like a restraining order on them, you know, that might be a good thing. They've come across, you know, videos I've done about the Canisense Collective. And, you know, just to kind of keep it simple, which is what we really like to do, Canisense is, it's a godsend for one thing. But what it does is it allows medical cannabis patients in all 50 states to simply get a recommendation from a board-certified doctor. Once they get a medical recommendation, they are allowed to join our collective. And then they get access to our apothecary, where they can, you know, select the medicine that's going to best help them live more productive and healthy lives, and then it's delivered straight to their home. And that's the overall, the simplicity of what Canisense is. And, you know, since I've been a part of it, you always start off going one way in life, and then something comes along that just yanks you in a different direction. And anybody who knows me knows I have superhero syndrome to my detriment sometimes. And I got involved with it as a patient, and then over the past couple of years, my involvement got more and more ingrained, and I have basically shut, you know, most of my own endeavors off to promote Canisense and to help, you know, build Canisense and get Canisense out there, because I am addicted to seeing people who are suffering, period. From whatever ailment, I'm addicted to seeing those people recover. And for me, and from my experience, I've seen cannabis do it in so many ways for so many people on so many levels that it's the closest thing that I can come to actually being a superhero, if that kind of makes any sense. I mean, so that's why I'm involved with Canisense. And, you know, I work with patients all across this country who, before Canisense came along, couldn't access medicine. And it is a medicine, you know. And me and you had discussed, Craig, earlier, you know, before, I guess, whatever you call the pre-show wrap or whatever, the stigma that has been around cannabis, you know, for way too long. And Cannesence doesn't approach it from a place of I really don't think that we have to defend against the stigma. We, right out of the gates, we approach cannabis as a medicine, and that's the way that we treat it. And so we make it available to anybody who's willing to, you know, go through a few simple steps to get a recommendation and come into the collective. And we have caregivers that are able to assist, a lot of the senior citizens who are pursuing this as a medicine into our collective to walk them through, you know, the technical aspects and stuff like that. So let me try to wrap it up into a nice bow, and then you guys can ask the details that you want to know. But basically what Cannesence is a 501c3 mutual benefit, corporation that provides medical cannabis to patients in all 50 states. And that's basically what Cannesence is. It doesn't get any simpler than that. You know, you get your recommendation, you get your medicine, and you get well. That's it.
And how does that work in states where cannabis is not legal?
Well, I mean, okay, you're going to make me put my liberty activist hat on, right?
That's good. Oh, yeah, put it on.
Let me preface it a little bit by saying, you know, when I first started talking about Cannesence on shows, to me, I mean, I'm a simple guy. I look at the simplicity of the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. That's just the way that I look at the document. I think that the document, we were talking about this earlier, if you walk into a law library, you see shelves and shelves of all these books filled with legalese and dashes and codes and statutes and acts and things like that. And over generations of apathy, of enjoying the fruits of our forefathers, we have kind of shirked our responsibility to know our rights and know the Constitution. And so we've kind of put the responsibility of, well, we'll let the experts deal with the legalities, right? And what we don't realize in our culture today is that when you walk into a law library, there's only one document that controls all of those books in all of those shelves of legalese. And it's a very small document, you know, and it's a document that every peace officer, every person who joins the military, every judge, every person who supposedly is an attorney swears an oath to uphold and protect. It's the Constitution, a very small document, and it's a simple document, and we've gotten so far away from it, and I don't understand it. So whenever you ask me how is this legal, one, I kind of cringe because I don't really like dealing with legal stuff. I like dealing with what's lawful. If that makes sense. Does that make sense? What's lawful?
It makes sense, yes.
Okay, well, last time I checked, we're all Americans, and the supreme law of the land is the Constitution. You know, and I keep a copy, you know, with me everywhere I go. But last time I checked, you know, we have the Supremacy Clause, and the Supremacy Clause, you know, it's Article 6. It says, this Constitution and the laws of the United States, which shall be made in pursuance thereof, and all treaties made, or which shall be made under the authority of the United States, shall be the supreme law of the land, and the judges in every state shall be bound thereby, anything in the Constitution or laws of any state to the contrary notwithstanding. And so I'll ask you guys, what does that say to you as Americans?
It says, don't fuck with us.
Okay.
Don't fuck with us unless we are committing violence against someone else, you know, and that's the thing, man. So obviously in some states there's a lot of gray area for people that can become members of the collective and receive their medicine, and that's awesome. I love that this is possible in all 50 states, but I'm wondering, like, Do you ever have to hear stories of people who, you know, were picking something up from wherever it's lawfully or legally sent to them, and then they get pulled over, you know, in a dry state? I mean, we're getting to the point where there's a lot of states now that recognize cannabis as a medicine, but there are those that don't. So is it more dangerous for those customers, you know, I mean, even if they're just, like, you know, walking from the mailbox or wherever their legal pickup is to their home and then they get busted? I mean, if it's someone that's sick, they may not have the ability to, or the, you know, the cognitive capacity or the physical ability to, you know, defend themselves. And is I guess I'm curious if in a worst case scenario for people that are afraid to make the switch over from opiates to cannabis, and maybe pick, you know, join the collective. What can you say to people that are worried about those worst case scenarios? Does the collective provide any sort of legal help or guidance when it comes to people that have to go to court over stuff like this, unfortunately?
Yeah, and that's another beautiful thing about CannaSense is, you know, I don't approach CannaSense like I was talking to Craig earlier about this. I don't approach CannaSense as a company or anything like that. We're a family. We're a collective. And when you're in a family or a collective, you look out for the weakest among you. And, you know, the people who are really behind the gears of CannaSense, we're all liberty people, you know, thank the universe for that. And so we understand that not everyone in our collective is capable or willing, or wherever they're at in their station in life, they may not know, you know, the Constitution, their rights as affluently as some of us. And so we do look out for those individuals, and we try to keep it simple. Now, a lot of us who like to dabble in the law and Constitution, and I'm not a lawyer, I'm not a doctor, so don't take anything I say as legal or medical advice. I'm an American, right? And I encourage other people to be Americans and to educate themselves. But we try to keep it simple. And, you know, liberty and freedom, and I'm an author, so I tend to be long-winded. I hope that's okay. But it's the journey around the lake, right? We keep it simple, and we use what's called the trifecta, okay? The trifecta is, you know, most people can remember three interlocking pieces of legislation, you know, and that's good enough for them. And the trifecta essentially is the Compassionate Use Act of 1996, which, you know, is a California law, which basically you get a medical recommendation from a board-certified doctor and you're a medical cannabis patient. And then we combine that with the Reciprocity Clause in the Constitution, you know, which essentially, and we could dissect it if we want to, but the Reciprocity Clause is, you know, you have the access to the judicial proceedings of other states. If it's legal or lawful in California, it's got to be lawful in Georgia, which is where I reside, right? So you take those two together. And how do you get, say, me? I'm a Georgia resident, so I'm in the Bible Belt. I'm in the thick of the resistance to cannabis, okay? How do you get a Georgia resident to become a lawful California patient? Well, you know, with the Affordable Care Act, you have telemedicine, which is when you have a virtual visit via Skype or, you know, the internet to a board-certified doctor in California, that's a California visit. So even though I reside in the state of Georgia, I am a California medical cannabis patient. Georgia, as a state in the United States bound by the supremacy of the Constitution, has to adhere to that. They have to respect that. Now, they'll clear a courtroom before they rule in your favor so that other people can't hear that, you know, but that's the simplicity of it. If you can get three simple interlocking pieces of legislation, which is what we call the trifecta, then that's enough for most people. But, you know, to tell you the truth, when you ask about worst case scenario, you know, CannaSense was formed in 2015. I came along in 2016, and we offer what's called the CannaSense Foundation, which means our members, you know, they make donations monthly to the CannaSense Foundation. And the CannaSense Foundation, it runs indigent needs, cancer research, children needs, legal defense, wellness centers, and veteran needs. So if someone in our collective is comes into some legal scrutiny due to being a medical cannabis patient, then we step in, and we go on a case-by-case basis, and which is, you know, if you're doing something silly like, you know, you robbed a bank but you also were a cannabis patient, we're probably not going to help you. But, you know, what we like to do is encourage responsible use. And if you are, as an American, exercising your right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness by utilizing cannabis as a medicine, and the state steps in to try to punish you for that, then we step in and we assist in whatever ways we can. So, yeah, we have the CannaSense Foundation. Now, what I will say is that since 2015, we haven't had a problem. I myself put it, because I'm an activist, I put it to the test here in Georgia, but there was no punishment on my end. But we have it. That issue doesn't come up. I mean, It really doesn't. But if it does, we're prepared for it. And, you know, we will protect the rights of the people who are in our collective to the best of our ability. So does that answer your question?
Yeah, that's awesome. I mean, I'm really impressed to hear that. That sounds like exactly the kind of system that needs to be in place. And I mean, it sounds like it worked really well in Georgia and you haven't had problems anywhere else. I mean, that's got to inspire a lot of confidence to people that are on the fence that, you know, don't understand that these kind of options are out there. I mean, I'm pretty well versed on this topic, or at least I thought I was, but you're telling me a lot of new things here today, and I'm sure this is going to be new to a lot of listeners too.
Yeah, you know, the critical key to it is, you know, like me and Craig were talking about earlier, freedom and liberty are not easy. It's not always easy. And it's, you know, the Constitution is not some magical document that can shield you from an aggressive arm from the state, okay? It is the responsibility of every individual to know their rights, and they have to be courageous enough to stand on those rights. I could give you legal terminology and give you all the security blankets that you want from here to eternity. But if you don't stand up and look in the mirror and say, I am an American, okay, and I have unalienable rights, and I will stand on those rights, I will operate in life from those rights, and I will assume that I have these rights, rather than taking the position that we've all been beaten into, which is waiting for permission to do what you have a right to do. You know, that's the nature of the country right now. You know, and believe me, dude, I've had to debate this. I don't debate it anymore because it's like this. If you want to have a political debate with me, that's great. Can I move on to somebody who's suffering from PTSD with a gun in their mouth that wants to get better? You know, I don't have time to debate it with you. You know, I literally have talked to a lot of patients who have a gun right there next to their head. And so it's like, to me, debating the trivialities of legalization versus decriminalization versus how the medicine goes across state lines. These are wonderful things to do, and we'll do it after I make sure that there are people out there who are suffering get what they need. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, so, yeah.
You know, that's just the way that I approach it. I mean, yeah, we do have a legal framework in which allows us to operate this way. We've had a lot of resistance, obviously. Not so much that we're not able to do what we're doing and reach out to people across this country and help them. But at the end of the day, CannaSense has a dualistic mission, and it's to educate, to spread the idea of liberty. And, you know, one of the best ways to do that is, like, you know, me and my dad used to talk about this. You know, when the mind is weak, the body will suffer, and vice versa. So you can't have a strong nation, you can't have a strong America, if we're all suffering from, you know, you name it, man. The list just keeps getting bigger and bigger. PTSD from overseas wars. We have big pharma is injecting us with everything you can imagine. Our food isn't food. Our water is not water. I mean, this country is sick. It's sick, and you can see it.
And there tends to be a notion in this country that big pharma is your friend and that they should be trusted. And there's quite a stigmatism when you say, oh, you know, you shouldn't trust big pharma. They're not really working in the interest of humanity. And so it's amazing how people trust OxyContin and Percocet, for instance. And I've known people who had injuries, they were recovering from surgery, etc., and they used either of those medications, and it destroyed their life. Mm. And so it's so odd to see. It's almost like America has been trained to cling on to this abusive big pharma system. I mean, do you see that kind of like hand around Americans' necks kind of loosening? Or are people wising up?
I think now they are. I mean, you know, I'm one of the reasons that kind of I gravitated towards medical cannabis as a medicine is, you know, I'm a recovered alcoholic and I was addicted to painkillers, you know, for almost 10 years. And, you know, when I was coming up, I never used cannabis. I was a drinker. I never used cannabis for recreation. So, you know, but when you suffer from addiction and you suffer from traumas and things like that, and then you approach cannabis that way, and then you see the miraculous healing that takes place in your life from those addictions and from those traumas and anxieties and things like that, then you can see it. And, I think that there is a problem with Big Pharma, and there is a problem with, you know, lobbyists in Washington pushing Big Pharma. However, at the end of the day, man, I can't take the responsibility off of the individual, because, you know, you can point your finger at all these mega entities, but the power still resides with the individual, and it always will. And so, you know, there's an old Roman maxim, which is let them who will be deceived be deceived. And so I don't want to make the quote opposition look like Goliath, because they're not. I mean, they're really not. They're offering you a choice. And unfortunately, a lot of people in this country, again, through generations of apathy, have allowed others to do their thinking for them. And that's in, you know, every aspect that we're talking about tonight, from liberty to their own health care. And Roger Langer, he's a good friend of mine. He runs the Liberty Beacon, and he always throws his quote up. So I'm going to give a shout out to him and everybody else at Team Canada, since there's some of the greatest people ever. But he always quotes Thomas Jefferson. Thomas Jefferson said, if people let the government decide what foods they eat and medicines they take, their bodies will soon be in as sorry state as are the souls who live under tyranny. Mm. So, you know, it is a problem. But it's not a problem that isn't solved with a single decision by the individual. And that's you, and that's me, and that's anybody who's listening. You know, you have to, again, you have to look in the mirror and understand that that whole we the people, that's you, okay? And you don't have to wait for permission to engage in previously secured rights. We have a Declaration of Independence that gives us the right to life, to liberty, and to the pursuit of happiness. And anything that you can, you know, there's a Supreme Court ruling. It's, do you mind if I quote the Supreme Court?
Oh, certainly. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Look it up real quick. I have my separate section right here. It's Berry versus United States, I believe. But just to paraphrase, it says, you know, that the Constitution has to be construed liberally in favor of the citizen. So if you as the citizen can pull a right out of the Declaration of Independence and the Bill of Rights, then it has to be leaned in your favor. You know, the rights of the citizen must be protected in that way. And so if you, again, getting back to the Supremacy Clause, and we were talking about this earlier, if I have a right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, and I have lungs, and you come along and you deprive me of oxygen by putting a pillow over my face, that's murder. You know, and now, thanks to, you know, modern science and modern medicine, we know that the human body has an endocannabinoid system. You know, we have receptors in our body that knows what to do with THC and CBD. But you have this, the federal government and state governments stepping in to deprive you of something that your body needs to function properly. Isn't that attempted murder? You know? So I do see a problem with Big Pharma and the government, the authoritarian force of the government that tries to make the citizen believe that it's their way or the highway. But I'm not going to take responsibility off of each individual American who has to, like we talked about earlier, you have to dust off liberty. You have to dust off the Constitution. You have to pick this document back up. You have to understand it, and you have to live in it. It's like Carl Miller used to say, it's like a genie in a lamp if you know how to rub it, you know. So does that answer your question?
It certainly does, I believe. Well, I mean, you mentioned, I think your exact quote was, liberty never really goes away but needs to be dusted off. And I didn't know that you could get cannabis in states where it's not legal. So this is like news to me, and I'm glad that we're getting that info out there. And I think an important thing for people to realize, especially who have kind of a stigma around cannabis, is that for people using it for specific purposes, it really isn't about getting high. In fact, like for myself, I find a little bit too much THC to be annoying. But for, you know, many purposes that people are taking it, they're not getting high, basically. And I think that's something that people don't realize. I think many people out there, they think if someone's using medical marijuana or using, well, cannabis, that they're smoking a joint or a bong and they're getting high, when that's not necessarily what's happening at all.
And no, not necessarily.
Yeah. I mean, it can be, but it's not necessarily what's happening. I mean, there's some people who avoid using that much THC just because it's simply annoying. It's kind of like you can take one, you know, aspirin, or you can take three. It depends. So what do you think it is about cannabis that is getting people back into the Bill of Rights and back into the Constitution and into the rights? Because it really seems like this is the first thing I've seen in my lifetime. Maybe I've just missed a few other things. It's very possible. But it's the first thing I've seen in my lifetime where states are really claiming their sovereignty, saying, hey, federal government, you said this is illegal, but you know what? We do not believe that it is illegal, that it is our right. There's just something about cannabis. Like, when I lived in Washington State, I didn't think it would ever happen. I honestly didn't take it seriously. I thought, there's no way, no way. And then one day, cannabis was legal in Washington State. I mean, what is it about this plant that is reinvigorating liberty, that's actually dusting off liberty, the Bill of Rights?
Wow, you're asking me to go into some places I want to. But first, let me preface. You were talking about, you know, people using cannabis for to get high and whatnot. I will say, you know, part of the CannAssist program is what our caregivers will do is they'll walk you through the process of seeing a board-certified doctor to get a medical recommendation. Now, you know, a lot of people that I've sponsored into the collective, especially here in the Bible Belt, they're like, well, what do I tell the doctor? You know, I don't want him to refuse me. And I'm like, no, you don't understand. These doctors want you to get well. Tell them the truth. Genuinely tell them why you're pursuing medical cannabis. If it's for a headache, tell them that. If it's for insomnia, tell them that. If it's for cancer, tell them that. Because what these doctors do whenever you're having your online appointment with them, which I thought it was brilliant, they educated me. You know, I'm not a cannabis connoisseur. I'm not one of those guys. But they educated me very well to why, whenever I used cannabis as a medicine, I wasn't having flashbacks from post-traumatic stress disorder. And they put me on a treatment plan, and they said, this is, you know, for your conditions, this is what we suggest. We suggest you, you know, you use a sativa in the morning, maybe an edible during the day, and you know, heavy indica at night for sleep. So whenever you get with CannAssist, and by the way, I hate when people do this, but I'm going to plug the website.
Oh, definitely plug it. Definitely plug it, yeah.
If you go to new.cannassist.com, you can see all the information right there. There's the Become a Member. There's the education page, the About Us perspectives. And you can submit support tickets there. That's an excellent way to get a hold of us. Our Facebook page is CannAssist Total Wellness on Facebook. You can get a hold of a caregiver that way. You can get a hold of a caregiver through the toll-free number, which I can give out later. But the caregivers will get you to a board-certified doctor that will put you on a treatment plan specifically for you. I mean, you don't want somebody who is just going for mild headaches to get like a 225-milligram, you know, edible right out the gate.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it's – you don't have to go by the treatment plan, but I encourage patients to do it. And being from Georgia, another thing is, you know, I was unaware – of the different methods of intake that you can get your medicine in until I was approached by CannAssist. And then once I was exposed to that world, I was like, oh, wow, this is it's so different than what people think. It really, really is. So that's what I would encourage people to do on that, as far as what we were discussing regarding people getting high versus medical for their medicinal purposes. To address the question, could you restate it again? What is the connection between cannabis and liberty?
Yeah, I would really say that that's kind of the core of it. It's that this is the first thing I've seen in my lifetime where states are really declaring their sovereignty from the federal government and saying, you know, federal government, you may say this is illegal, but we don't believe so, and we're just going to, these are our state borders. We say cannabis is legal. What are you going to do about it? I mean, there's a tremendous amount of activism that, that has had to happen for that to happen in states. I've just really been impressed, and it's given me a new, I guess, vigor and a new belief in America, well, sticking up for its Bill of Rights and its Constitution and ultimately being a, you know, a liberty-loving republic. So what is it about cannabis? Why is this what's causing, I guess you might say, the first state revolution, peaceful revolution, declaring sovereignty?
I'm going to speak as an individual, not as a representative of Canisense when I answer this question, because it turns some people off. But I'm a very spiritual person, and I, you know, I'm associated with several different, you know, Native American traditions, and I personally believe that it is a, it's a very spiritual gateway. It's a gentle gateway into the spiritual realm. I believe that it is a consciousness. I believe that it is a feminine consciousness, a very motherly consciousness, and it has been suppressed. I've in private conversations, I have likened the cannabis plant to Mary the Magdalene. You know, the official state religion made her out to be a whore. You know what I mean? But that's not really the case when you dig a little bit deeper. I believe that this country has been in, we've been collectively traumatized. And me and you had discussed the collective trauma has, yeah, we could pinpoint 9/11, but we can go back further than that to like the Korean conflict in Vietnam. We have been traumatized as a nation, and that trauma collectively has kept us in fight or flight mode. And we're not designed for that. The human mind and the human body and spirit is not designed to stay in fight or flight mode. You can't make rational decisions. You can't make rational thoughts. We're constantly bombarded with 24 hours of news and news tickers and now the internet, and not saying that it's all a bad thing, but a lot of it's geared to keep us in fight or flight, man. And it's not the way that we're made. So if you go out and you see a deer out in nature and you break a twig or you step on a twig, it goes into fight or flight, gets away from the immediate danger, and 5 minutes later, if you were to find it again, it's like frolicking. It's gone back to nominal. And we haven't been allowed to do that as a country. We haven't been allowed to do that until, you know, somebody passes us, you know, a doobie, or, you know, passes us some cannabis. And then for the first time, you know, in an individual's life that suffers from anxiety or whatever, they are allowed to slow time down and leave fight or flight, right? And really consider things. So I think that's why cannabis and liberty are so intertwined, is because government wants you to stay in fight or flight because, you know, you have to depend on them to do your thinking and your operation for you. But when you can pause, be mindful, point your awareness inward, be at peace, you know, not flip out, then you can think clearly. And when you start to think clearly, you can look around and you can start to see the ridiculousness of statutes and acts running everything, you know. Statutes and acts, as we discussed earlier, if you look up in Black's Law Dictionary, a statute and an act is given the force of law by mutual consent, right? So you have to consent to some, you know, annotated code and things like that. But if, as an American, if you've had the ability to get out of fight or flight and be mindful and still and in the moment to really look at that and go, I don't consent. I don't consent that I have to leave this public park at this time. There's no victim. Therefore, there is no crime. You know, am I free to go or am I being detained? You know, so I think that's what it is. I think that the spirit of cannabis, and even if you don't want to take the spiritual avenue, that's fine. But the effect that cannabis has on the human psyche is one that allows you to think and act in a more rational, calm, collected, and clear way. And, you know, you got two choices when it comes to revolution. And I don't like the violent one because I don't have drones and tanks, you know, and the American people don't. And so we would lose that one. Nobody wants a hot revolution, you know.
No, it's very true. Yeah, it makes sense. And, drones and tanks are quite the deterrent, but I think we'd still win. But that's just my little revolutionary spirit. So I have no problem saying that the plant is guiding us. I mean, that makes total sense to me. And it's kind of like, you know, nature shows up. It's like the dandelion. When we try to poison the earth with a lawn, what happens? It sprouts dandelions all over the place, which are a super nutrient-rich food for humans. We just don't eat them, but nature's trying to nourish us. So, you know, nature trying to nourish us, you know, spiritually, intellectually, physically, with cannabis, and cannabis speaking to us, you know, that's not far out on Radiant Creators at all. So I'm going to pass it over to Hesher.
Okay, well, this is really an interesting set of facts here, and I'm really relieved to hear that there is a system for people in states that are not caught up yet. You know, there's, I'm sure you get stuck in all sorts of outside conversations, you know, about how this affects the, you know, the genetics, the cultivar aspect, and what it means for home growers and small farmers when regulators step in and all this stuff, you know. There's so many interesting things to discuss, but what really is getting me about the way you're approaching this, to take it back to CannaSense, which I want to remind people to go check out all the websites that Daniel's given us tonight, but we're losing 20-plus military veterans a day to suicide in this country. And you never see that on the news. You know, if you will go and watch the Super Bowl, they big up the military and, you know, they make it just so cool and everything like that. And I'm a supporter of our troops, not a supporter of wars. So I don't want anyone to take that the wrong way. But why is it so that 20 plus veterans a day are committing suicide? We've got kids getting their nervous systems and blood-brain barriers ruined by poisonous fake foods, contaminated water, vaccines perhaps. Everyone has a friend or family suffering from deadly diseases like cancer. We got tons of children trying to recover from autism, and folks can argue the above what I said about vaccines, but the fact of the matter is we all know that tons of kids are affected by this and other spectrum diseases. We got people all over the world that are depressed, angry, and suicidal. And you can't argue with anyone who's recovered from or benefited or had their life made more fulfilling when dealing with situations like these. You know, we've got, you know, you have to be a really messed up person to be out there and tell millions of people affected by the things I just listed and agree with a government that wants to wage a fake, never-ending war against you and your right to grow and dry and smoke a plant when it has helped so many of those people that I just mentioned. And I think that's the thing that really needs to hit home if there's people out there listening right now, especially in states like yours and mine, you know, in Texas and Georgia and in the Bible Belt. You people got to wake up and realize that cannabis use, you know, we can, even cannabis users out there who want to focus on, you know, the other things that I mentioned, those are great discussions too. I'm glad people are having them. But when it comes right down to it, we've got states where sick people think they don't have access to this medicine. And I totally appreciate where you're coming from, Daniel, here with the medicinal side of this, because for a lot of us, like, you know, we're California refugees here in Texas, and, you know, California was, you know, one of the first states to pull off medical. So for us, this is like, you know, long-standing history going back to the mid-90s and the whole lead up to 96 or 7 when that happened. So I just think it's, you know, it, I don't really have a question for you. I just want to drive that home to the listeners that, you know, people are dying. You know, if you're feel like you're a patriotic person, and there's even one veteran out there who's going to maybe not take his own life or her own life because they have access to this instead of opioids, which the Rockefeller medical system wants to push on them. I mean, this is, you're missing the boat. You're not playing with a full deck. You've lost some marbles if you want to sit there and agree with a government that wants to keep this war going on to keep our prisons full and demonize people that aren't hurting anyone.
I agree with you. I mean, and I've said it one time, and it was taken as tongue in cheek, but they're, you know, I'm very passionate about the veterans. I've never served in the military, but my father was a veteran of two foreign wars, you know, that had post-traumatic stress disorder. But I've said before, I said, you know, not only should we allow veterans coming back access to cannabis in the VA and things like that, but we should actually make it mandatory that before they go to the recruiter's office, they smoke a doobie. And then we would end war, you know, because
I love it.
You know, I mean, let's make it to where before they sign on the dotted line with the recruiter that, you know, they have their awareness expanded to the idea that war is a racket, for one. I mean, you know, but I wanted to bring up Marbury versus Madison. And like I was talking to Craig earlier, what I really want to press upon people is, you know, one of my mentors who has inspired me to kind of push this forward, he said, we're not picking a fight with anybody. We're not picking a fight with the police or the federal government. We're having a conversation. And we really are having a conversation. There's no battle to be won here. Okay, the founding fathers won this battle for us, so it's just a matter of the individual knowing that and living in that. But like, all right, so I'm in Georgia. A lot of people who are listening are in states where it's, you know, it's supposedly a Schedule One, which I can prove unequivocally it's not a Schedule One. It doesn't qualify, but that's, you know, another topic. But, you know, if you look at one of the oldest Supreme Court cases in this country is Marbury versus Madison. It's never been overturned. Can I read a little bit from it?
Go for it.
Go for it.
Marbury versus Madison, 5 U.S. 137, that's from 1803. It says, no provision of the Constitution is designed to be without effect. Anything that is in conflict is null and void of law. Clearly, for a secondary law to come in conflict with the supreme law was illogical, for certainly the supreme law would prevail over all other laws, and certainly our forefathers had intended that the supreme law would be the basis of all law, and for any law to come in conflict would be null and void of law. It would bear no power to enforce, it would bear no obligation to obey, it would purport to settle as if it had never existed. For unconstitutionality would date from the enactment of such a law, not from the date so branded in an open court of law. No courts are bound to uphold it, and no citizens are bound to obey it. It operates as a near nullity or a fiction of law. Now, that's never been overturned. And if you take that and you go, I have a right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, and a part of that life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness is access to medicine that I choose, which happens to be cannabis, the state can't come along, a county can't come along, anything that has sworn an oath to the supreme law, which is the Constitution, they can't write something that conflicts or contradicts with the Constitution. And if they do, it's null and void. It's a fiction of law. So the battle's already won. There's no fight to be won here. There's no Goliath standing in between the American who wants to get better and cannabis. There's no fight. There's just a little bit of knowledge and then the courage to walk and live in that knowledge, if that makes sense. I mean, and you can even go further. And you can pull up, I think it's Shuttlesworth versus Alabama. Well, there's Murdoch versus Pennsylvania. It says that a state may not impose a charge for the enjoyment of a right granted by the federal constitution. So you can't, like I find things like licensing to get married or to travel freely and unencumbered on the road. I find that ridiculous. If you already have a right to travel and a right to, you know, get married and a right for food, why do we willingly go and get these licenses You know, it doesn't make any sense to me. And of course, Murdoch versus Pennsylvania says the state can't do that. When you couple that with Shuttlesworth versus Alabama, Shuttlesworth versus Alabama says if the state does convert your right into a privilege and issue a license and a fee for it, you can ignore the license and fee and engage in your right with impunity. Can't be punished. So, you know, whenever you're being moved against by the state, they have what's called elements. Right? They have to prove the elements, right? And one of the elements whenever you're moved against is willful intent, right? That you willfully disregarded a known moral duty, right? Does that make sense? So yes. if that's a required element for somebody to move against you and say, well, he had willful intent. He knew this was the law and he violated the law. However, you're coming from a place of looking at the Constitution, which is interpreted in favor of the beneficiary, which is us. And you're going, I got a right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. If I don't get my cannabis, I'm going to blow my brains out from PTSD or drink myself to death as an alcoholic. So I guess I have a right to do that. There you go. You know, to me, it's simple, you know, and I know, you know, for some people who are listening, they're like, oh, he's just rattling this stuff off. He knows it. But it's really not that difficult. I mean, it has to start with the individual. Again, it has to start with you saying, I want to be well. All right. Because I assure people out there who are timid about joining a medical collective, you know, especially in the Bible Belt, you know, you got to make a choice, man. Do you want to continue living not well, in fear? Or do you want to, I mean, what's it worth to you to live well, you know, not make it, not survive? What is it worth to you to live well? You know, is it worth taking a small document like the Constitution and reading it and not being aggressive with people behind a badge, empathizing with them because they don't know either? You know, and de-escalating situations not to a confrontation, but to a conversation. You know, does that make sense, or am I sitting on?
Oh no, it certainly makes sense, and it does make me realize something that I see all over the place is that Americans over generations have truly been conditioned to exist within regulations. In fact, they're not really, Americans aren't really comfortable if something isn't regulated. Almost anything you might want to do, people go, well, do I need a license? Is it regulated? What are the rules, etc.? So really, we're looking at, you know, generations of conditioning. And so to break away from that is something that a person has to, well, you make the decision, like you say, you know, I want to live free, I want to live well. And you begin to do it, and individuals just need to take it on as they are able. You know, I mean, it is an incredible lifelong habit and way of seeing things that has been deliberately conditioned into us since we were born. And so I would just definitely say, I know for myself, it's something I work on. You know, it really is having that courage, that courage to be free. Really, it starts with thinking free, and it starts with realizing that we do have unalienable rights in this country via the Bill of Rights, and that, you know, breathing is an unalienable right. Cannabis is an unalienable right. They never were the governments to screw with in the first place. So one thing you mentioned is PTSD and cannabis, and I just wanted to, if we could go into that slightly, because you know, PTSD is one thing that I've definitely experienced in life. I mean, I am a veteran, so I did take that one on. But also, I would just want to mention to people, you know, PTSD is not just veterans. PTSD, if you've had extreme stress, it could be a car accident, it could be somebody tried to mug you, you were frightened, whatever it is, if you had extreme fear, extreme stress, that will leave its mark. Also, if you had stress over an extended period of time, even a really shitty job that you hated and drug your ass to every day, you corpse dragged yourself to that job, that does create PTSD. So I really think we really are a nation of PTSD. And we tend to say it's only veterans, and they definitely have it, many do. but it's almost like we all have it. Who knows how many people in 10 have PTSD? And people you're working with who have PTSD, how is cannabis like helping them? What does it look like in their lives when they begin to use cannabis to help with that?
That's emotion. I mean, I will tell you, my work with cannabis is extremely emotional. Because, you know, I've personally developed PTSD when I lost my father. You know, I was giving him CPR when he passed, and that's how I first developed PTSD. And I lost my father because he didn't have access to medical cannabis in Georgia. You know, he would still be alive if he had access to that medicine. And he wasn't a big fan of painkillers. But what he did was he did over-the-counter stuff like, you know, acetaminophen, and that caused an ulcer. And, you know, he went to sleep, essentially. But that's what took my father from me, is that he didn't have access to it. Okay, and then I developed PTSD as a result of that. And right away, you know, I knew, like, whenever I started having, you know, muscle spasms, and right when you go to sleep, you jerk back and you're right in that moment again, it's all there. I was like, I've got PTSD. And I had a choice, and that choice was self-destruction, you know. But thankfully, I had a little bit of knowledge ahead of time to know that I was suffering from PTSD. And never having been a recreational, you know, occasionally as a teenager, maybe using cannabis recreationally, I knew that alcohol was going to make this worse. Because it does. It amplifies your PTSD. And the only thing that I knew to do, you know, it was almost like my body cried out for it, was cannabis. Was it allowed me a plateau to get myself together, get my mind together, get my spirit together, and repair a fractured mind. You know what I mean? So I went through addiction and trauma and a lot, and I'm so thankful for every bit of the suffering that I've gone through, because I can empathize. You know, I don't need a person on the other end of the phone to describe to me what they're going through. I can tell you that whenever I first came in to the collective and started sponsoring people in, one of the people that I sponsored was a veteran who was very close to committing suicide, and I mean on the phone. And with me being able to empathize with his position, able to get him to take a minute to breathe, to calm down, and then walk him through the steps that we as caregivers at Canisense walk patients through, to give him the relief to know there is help on the way. Okay, we've gotten you through the process, which is very simple. You could do it in a day, and your medicine will be there. It's going to be there on this day. Okay, hell or high water, we'll get you your medicine. And then to have his wife call me back a week later crying, saying, I want to thank you for giving me my husband back. You know, and that's every day, man. That's every single day. And it's not just PTSD, it's people with postpartum, people with, you know, with all sorts of things, but with PTSD, because it's touched me personally. The only thing I could say is that in the moment where you can share in a person's healing, you understand what it is like to be an instrument of the Most High. Whatever your understanding of the Creator is, in that moment when you can lift another person out of the swamp and let them see some light, right? You become an instrument of the divine. And once you get a taste of that, you know, which is what Canisense offers everybody the opportunity to do, you get into Canisense, and then you start to communicate with people who are in the collective and help other people get in and It's a needle in the vein, but it's a positive needle in the vein. You know, saving lives is what we do, man. I get up in the morning and I go, you know, no matter what happens today, no matter how many times the phone rings or how many issues or fires I have to put out or whatever it is, man, saving lives is what we do. It's what we wake up to do. So I have seen, I mean, I'm an example of it. You know, I'm an example of somebody who was on the verge of self-destruction because of PTSD. And if it hadn't have been for the cannabis plant, I probably would have eaten a bullet or, you know, some other less than glamorous way to go out. But here I am. You know, here I am. So I don't know if that answers your question, because it's a very emotionally loaded topic for me.
No, it perfectly does answer the question, and it's a hard question to really answer directly, but you definitely did. So I would say that you definitely have reached superhero status. I can't quite imagine in any more, you know, a more meaningful way to, you know, live your life when that's your day. You do what you do. I mean, that's definitely superhero status. Well, we're right at about an hour, and that's where we tend to keep it, but it's not strict. So I'm going to pass it over to Hesher to see if he has any questions. And that'll be the last one for me to ask tonight. And after that, just we'll wrap up.
Okay, great. Well, you know, I don't really have any other questions. You know, I mean, I think I would just want to encourage that section of listeners that we're talking about out there, which I've referred to tonight out there, who are on the fence about this or, you know, don't know what to do. You know, if you're anything like me, you may have learned something new tonight. And if you know someone that is suffering, or if you understand how important this is, you know, when it comes to the legal aspect, we're in other fights right now. This, you know, as both Daniel and Craig will probably back me up on, whatever it is that you're enthusiastic about, if you are a lover of freedom and liberty, that most important aspect to you is most likely under attack, legal attack in some way, shape, or form. So when it comes to, you know, your right to your happiness and your liberty, and if that equating to a plant medication that you should have access to, which, by the way, has put so many people in jail and ruined so many people's lives in a failed war. And it doesn't just affect the people that have been arrested for doing nothing more than possessing and smoking a plant that is easily grown. It ruined the lives of many of their families too. Houses were sold, families were split up, children were taken by CPS. All kinds of horrible things have happened in this war on drugs. People have been killed that didn't need to be killed. Criminals have taken over, violent criminals have taken over an industry that never needed to be a violent industry, or, you know, prohibition. I mean, the effects of prohibition are staggering. We can have a whole other conversation about that. But it's time for people to realize that, you know, we can't disallow folks this medicine anymore. It's ridiculous. The entire war on drugs is ridiculous. Daniel, I listened to your conversation, one of your conversations with Clyde Lewis, and you did a good talk there about why this shouldn't even be a Schedule I drug, and that has to do with some patents that are out there. We may not have time to get into that, but you know, I'd urge people to get more familiar with your work, and please shout out all your websites and places of contact once more for anyone who's joining us late in the show. And thanks for being here with us.
No worries, man. I'm glad you guys had me on. I mean, the first place I would send people is to new.canisense.com. All the information is there on the website, and you can click underneath the support tab, and there's a submit a ticket. So if you have any questions, if you want a caregiver to reach out to you, that's an outlet to do it. Another way to do it is through the Facebook page. There's typically somebody manning the Facebook page during California business hours. You could shoot us a private message and say, hey, you know, I heard Daniel on this show, and I'd like some more information, or I'd like somebody to walk me through the process. That's an avenue to reach us. You can also call the our toll-free number. I almost said 1-800 number. The toll-free number is 1-833-633-4208. We're we don't have a telemarketing center, but if you don't get a hold of a live operator or a live caregiver, leave a message. We'll get back to you. So there's tons of ways. I mean, and if all those avenues fail, people can reach me personally on Facebook. That's typically the method of communication these days. But send me a friend request on Facebook. It's Daniel Lewis Crumpton. And, you know, if I can get you in touch with a caregiver that can walk you through, I'd be more than happy to do that. But, yeah, I mean, the main place I'd like to send people is new.canisense.com. It might be outdated. It's been a while since I've actually looked it up. But if you go to YouTube and you type in CanaSense as an illegal scam, and that's me being tongue-in-cheek because I have a weird sense of humor. But I think it's like a 5-part video series I did, you know, when I first got into CanaSense to break down the simplicity of the legalities. And, you know, I discuss everything from what we discussed tonight to people who want to become medical cannabis patients in the Ninth Circuit and not owning guns. Like, I break that down for you. But that's on YouTube. But, yeah, I mean, I encourage anybody, if you or someone that you know could benefit from medical cannabis, and for those of you like me, I was blown away by the method of intake. For example, I'm not really a big smoker. I mean, we have plenty of flower in the apothecary. I like to vape it, you know, and so there's vape cartridges, there's transdermal patches, there's, you know, topical ointments, there's edibles, there's, you know, there's methods of intaking your medicine that you probably, if you're not out west in California, you've never even heard of. And it's right there for you. You know, it's right there for you to get better. So, new.canisense.com. The Facebook page is, you know, CanaSense Total Wellness. And the toll-free number is 1-833-633-4208. You do need a sponsor to join the collective. For those of you who don't have a sponsor, you know, you could put where you heard this. I just lost my train of thought. Too much cannabis tonight. No. You could put the name of the show in your sponsorship field, and we'll know where to allocate you and get you to a caregiver that's going to help you out. And that's another thing about CanaSense that I really love is the idea of having a sponsor that can get you the information that you need, can guide you in the correct way as we move forward. You know, we're trying to get people better through cannabis, but we're also trying to educate and activate other activists. And, you know, I've been in activism where it was angry and, you know, kind of violent and standoffish. And by far, when you deal with activism and peaceful revolution through the lens of cannabis and the spirit of cannabis, it's much more fun. You know, it comes with a sense of humor that you really, really need. You got to have a sense of humor, man. You know, so, new.canisense.com. And the Facebook page is CanaSense Total Wellness. And, reach out to us and say, I want to join the collective. What do I do? And we'll help you out.
That sounds great. Well, thanks for being on the show. And thanks, Hesher, for making this a Boiler Room Radiant Creators simulcast.
Hey, I love those team ups, man. Speaking of, since we're on a superhero theme tonight, we got a bit of a superhero team up going here between CanaSense, Radiant Creators, and Boiler Room. Simulcasting over here at alternatecurrentradio.com, of course, available at radiantcreators.com, the awesome website with the killer art and all that. Shout out to Aaron, your awesome web designer and co-host over there. And for anyone out there listening that wants to go to that website, once again, that's new.canisense, CanaSense.com. So get on over there, check them out, maybe save a life, and let's get everybody in the fight here because this is one of many constitutional crises, legal crises that we're faced with in this fight. So thanks again, Daniel, for joining us.
No worries, man. I would want to end it with, you know, we talked a lot about the Supreme Court rulings and the Constitution, but honestly, guys, for you guys who are out there that just want to get well, it's really, really simple, okay? And it's get your recommendation, get your medicine, get well, and that's it. We will guide you through the process. It's just what we do, man. And thank you guys for having me on. I really, really appreciate you giving an outlet to this message. I really appreciate it. And it'll come back to you because there's going to be lives that are saved. I know that for a fact.
Mm. Awesome. We're really glad you came on, and we're going to push this far and wide, make sure our entire audience gets it. Thanks once again. Over to you, Craig.
I am good to go. Thanks so much. And by the way, Daniel is an author. Daniel Lewis Crumpton is an author. Check it out. Go to Amazon. Then Came the Flood is a book he wrote, and I've only just started looking at it, but if you like Daniel's mind, his book is damn far out.
Thanks for listening to Radiant Creators. Check out more content at radiantcreators.com. If you like the show, give it a like. Share this. Comment. Keep the conversation going. You can also find us at alternatecurrentradio.com, where there's this show and a lot more.